on Salisbury Hill. I could see the city light.
And Steve Salisbury joins us to talk American sport. There's so much sport happening over there in the NFL. Happy New Year to you, Steve. Thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome. G'day, Steve. Good to see you guys. G'day, boys.
What about this story? We'll get to it after 7:30, but as an outsider, you've lived in the States for this story, and obviously you've been listening to stuff online and watching, reading articles online from the US. How big a story has this been in terms of sports stories, you think?
The Eston one. Oh, I think it's a big deal. Obviously, it's not getting a lot of publicity over there. I tell you, it's getting none at all. But any time that you've got really the careers of people hinging on a decision, I think it's a big deal. And as Moon said, I'm quite sure that there would be if it were happening over there and there were guys that were sitting there waiting and they got the verdict that they wanted, they would probably drop trow and start running up the street.
Sure. Drop trow. All right, let's talk American sport. It was a big day yesterday.
And it was a big day days.
We saw a bit of a Ray Finkel yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what. You're talking about the Seattle-Minnesota game. That was actually the third coldest that was played in the third coldest – I guess that was the third coldest game ever. It was -6 Fahrenheit, which is -21 degrees
wow.
at kickoff. And ouch. With the wind chill, it brought it down to -32.
How do they play in that?
I tell you, I don't know. And the interesting thing is that whenever you look at old classic films or classic footage of the NFL and when they played in Minnesota, you'd always see scarves and caps or hats, and then you'd see the people's breath. You could see that yesterday, and it was quite funny because it looked like it was a throwback to the 1970s. Because really, the last probably 25 or 30 years, the Vikings played indoors. They're awaiting a new stadium to be built. Minnesota is one of the coldest places, in fact, maybe the coldest place in the country. So in January, you're going to get it. How you play? I mean, normally what happens in games like that is the better team is neutralized. You know, if you've got a team that maybe can exploit some speed, you know, can win based on speed, it nullifies all that, and so. My thought was the team that made the fewer mistakes was going to win the game. And as Moons just said, this guy, the place kicker, Blair Walsh, mm-hmm. who had kicked converted every single kick within 30 yards this season, missed the biggest one. And
even on the day, he had a 22-yard. Then I think he went to 43, 47. Like, they're big kicks in those conditions, huge kicks.
And they scored 9 points, and it was all off his foot. Mm. But the one that they needed, he didn't do it. And you watched it, and Chris Collinsworth, the commentator, said, when we're talking about, like, laces in, you know, you want the laces away because as you look at an American football.
Like when you kick an AFL football, you have the laces pointing towards your toe.
That's right. You do not want to kick on the laces.
And now, is it that big of a deal?
It's a psychological thing. Okay. I don't think it'd be that big of a deal, really. I mean, you're talking about the foot going pretty quickly. It's just going to make contact with it. But Chris Collinsworth said it's more of a psychological thing. And kickers are really the most skittish of all players because you're either a hero or a zero. Mm. And right now the poor guy's a zero. He fronted up quite well to the media.
He's taken the blame for the whole lot, which is huge. But the holder in himself, does he put his hand up and say, look, I got that wrong?
Or... He probably should.
Has he run away from this?
Well, I mean, everybody's blaming Blair Walsh, unfortunately, for Blair Walsh. I'll tell you what, that Seattle, that right there is a very interesting thing because oftentimes you look back after a team wins a Super Bowl and there'll be games that they should have lost but they didn't. And you looked at the Seattle players after this guy missed the kick. Mm. They're praying to God going, oh, my God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you get me through this thing, I swear to God, I won't watch porn anymore. I won't just get me through it. And luckily for them, they're moving on. It's going to be Kansas City 30-0 over Houston. This was on Saturday or Sunday our time. That team's won 11 straight. Mm.
So they started the season poorly, didn't they?
They were 1-5, and they blew out to 125-1 odds to win it. They've won 11 straight. They're going in. They're playing great in all three phases of the game: offensively, defensively, and special teams. They're going into New England, who obviously the defending champs. And I actually think that the Chiefs can win that game. And I have a feeling that the Chiefs will win that game.
Has New England's last 3 weeks, 4 weeks been below par?
Yes, it has. They've lost 4 of 6, and you could point to really their offensive line is not giving Brady the protection that he needs. And if you don't watch much American football, one thing you need to know is a team is only as good as the guys that are blocking for them. They've also had some injuries on offense. The defense is still really good. I expect it'll be a really interesting game. That game's being played on Sunday, our time, the first game, 8:30 in the morning. You had a game, the other game on Sunday that was really interesting was the Steelers-Bengals game.
Yep.
Those are division foes. The Bengals have been horrible in the postseason. They've never been able to win games for any number of reasons. They looked this season like they had it all coming together. Their quarterback, Andy Dalton, wasn't screwing up. Everything looked great. They had one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And on the day, with a minute 27 to go, they've got the lead and the ball. They fumbled it. Pittsburgh gets the ball back. Ben Roethlisberger came back from injury, comes back, converts one pass. The next pass he tries to convert, a guy named Vontaze Burfict makes one of the stupidest plays ever. Antonio Brown, the receiver, misses the ball. Yet Burfict, who was far from it, comes up and hits helmet to helmet, 15 yards. So tempers flare, yep. Bunch of guys come together. One of the coaches on Pittsburgh comes out, Joey Porter, former player. A guy named Pac-Man Jones, who's one of the stupidest players in the game, lunges at him,
yep.
15 yards. Unsportsmanlike, oh, well, now what was a 65-yard field goal is a 35-yard field goal. This guy didn't, Blair Walsh. Obviously, the laces are right, kicks it. Steelers move on, and the Bengals' streak is now 25 years.
Now, Steve, just break it down for us. For those people that pick up, and a lot of people pick up the NFL around playoff time,
right.
And so who's still in it? Who's the favorite? Just break it down for those that are just picking it up now.
Okay, you got 18. You got this weekend on Sunday, you've got two games. You got Kansas City at New England, Green Bay at Arizona. On Monday, you got Seattle at Carolina, Pittsburgh at Denver. The favorite coming in would probably be New England because they won it last year. They were good all season long, but they've lost 4 of 6, as we just said. I think right now the hottest team in the AFC is Kansas City. And I think they could go into New England and win. The other AFC game is Pittsburgh at Denver. Denver has Peyton Manning. They've got home field advantage all the way through. They've got a really good defense. The Steelers, big question going into that game is whether their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, will be right to play. I'm guessing he will. So those will both be good games. The favorite in that one, I'd probably say Denver because they're at home. But you can never count out the Steelers. In the NFC, Green Bay at Arizona. Arizona, in my mind, is the best team in football.
Well,
both sides of the ball.
Arizona did an absolute number on Green Bay a couple of weeks ago.
They did. I think you'll see a different Green Bay team, but the Cardinals are great offensively. They're good defensively. They're aggressive. They're well coached. They've got a really good roster. I like them to beat Green Bay. Seattle going into Carolina, big test for Carolina. Seattle is a team that they're battle-tested. They've done this before. Carolina hasn't.
Yep.
Carolina went 15-1. There was talk that they were going to go undefeated. They weren't, obviously. They didn't. This game's in Carolina. In Seattle earlier in the year, Carolina came back and beat Seattle 27-23, but I actually like Seattle to beat Carolina in Carolina this weekend. So I would say Kansas City, Arizona, Seattle, and Denver is what you get going into the final weekend. And then those two games will be played, and then the Super Bowl is going to be played, I think, February, whatever the Monday is here.
Third or
first,
something?
Yeah. No, I think it's either the 1st or the 2nd of February, and that'll be played in Santa Clara. And if you want to fly over and get there, you can. There's still tickets available. It's going to cost
how much?
Oh, it'll run you probably $2,500 US. So what's that now? $3,500.
Yep.
Oh, but it's all about the experience, though, isn't it?
Is that for the
flights?
Flight
are cheap though. No, flights are down to $1,000. You can fly right for return.
Really?
Yeah, over $1,000.
So I wouldn't have thought you would have got a ticket for anything less than $10,000 change.
No. You can do better than that. You go there on the day. Yeah. I mean,
on the day, I reckon it's even worse, wasn't it?
Not really. It depends on who you've got, and that stadium. That stadium holds 65,000. I mean, you could get onto StubHub and try. I mean, bottom line is if you want to go and you're willing to pay, you can get in. Because I've heard people say, oh, it's impossible to get a ticket. Not really. Not, you know, money is a good cure for those issues. But she's lived it 10 times
or more. She could spit in the 22 past 7, bit of David Bowie there. Were you a David Bowie fan?
Yes, I was. I was really upset last night to read.
It's a shock, wasn't it?
I've never been saying the same thing. I didn't know the guy was ill. And I actually, in my car right now, I've got two of his CDs that I've had for months.
Yeah.
That I listen to all the time. I got the kids loving it now, too. The kids really like Under Pressure.
Steve Salisbury is with us talking US sport. If you've got a question for Steve, anything to do with US sport, give us a buzz, 9429-1116. We'll take some of your calls in a moment. Big day for college football today, though, Steve.
The biggest of all days for college football. It's the national championship game today, our time, 12:30. Number 2, Alabama. They're 13-1. They've been crushing teams. I took a look at their schedule this morning. They have no one has got within 13 points of those guys. Only, well, actually, in 14 games, only two times has a team come within 14 points of them. The last time that happened was October. So these guys are rolling. But Clemson, in their own right, they're 14-0. They've not lost. They're trying to be the first team since I think Penn in 1897 to actually run the table and go 15-0 in a year in one season. They're 14-0. The game's being played in Arizona. It should be a I think it should be a cracker of a game because both these teams are these are clearly the two best teams left in college football. And look at Alabama, they're killing people. Clemson's killing people. It's good. Normally in these types of games, it's actually Alabama's a 6.5-point favorite.
Yep.
And I think that has a lot to do probably with Alabama just being – I'm guessing that the odds makers feel like they play in the SEC, which is probably the premier football conference in the U.S. Clemson knows good. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, Alabama's going to win this thing. But Clemson is a very good team with some very good players, and I do think that it'll be a hell of a game. So if you can get to ESPN, have a look at it because Clemson's kind of gone – even though they're 14-0, they've kind of gone under the radar, and everybody's assuming that Alabama will win. But I think 6.5 points, you can get on Clemson, and there might be some value in that.
Well, Stu, who are the star players that we're going to watch today? Because I think this game last year, didn't we have the 1 and 2 pick going in the national draft?
In this game last year, in the Final Four last year, you had the final game was Ohio State and Oregon. But in the Final Four, Final Four, you had... you also had Florida State, which is where what's-his-face went.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yes.
What's-his-face?
No. The guy who played for Tampa this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Jameis
Winston.
Winston, that a guy. So Deshaun is your the quarterback for Clemson. Very versatile kid. Can run the ball, throws the ball really well. Real leader. Henry is the running back for Alabama who won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, I think the key to the game is going to be defense. So, I mean, those guys are both offensive players. If you take a look at the defensive side of the ball, that's what Alabama has traditionally done really well. One of the reasons what the NFL teams will draft an offensive player from the SEC is because they've been playing against SEC defenses. And oftentimes when you take a look at the draft, like if you look at the NFL draft last year, I'm guessing you would have had out of the 32 picks, probably a third of them would have been SEC players. And there's probably a dozen conferences in America. So the SEC has a preponderance of good players. Most of the good players come out of the SEC.
What sort of an audience nationwide will this one get today?
Oh, it'll rate very well. It's on if it's on at 12:30 our time, that's going to be 8:30 New York time. So I think it'll probably rate at least initially probably rate a 10 or 11, maybe even better, a 12, which is 12% of the country, which is 30 million probably. It's
incredible.
A lot of people watching a game. And you will get a depending on how well the game goes, you'll have people coming in, dropping off. In Arizona, where the game's being played, it's actually the place where they played the Super Bowl that I went to, which was 42. It's University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. It's a beautiful place to watch a game. It's a really nice venue, and I think you'll probably have 75,000 at the game. Tickets are still available. It's probably going to be a tough to get over there if you're here in Australia.
Let's take some calls for Steve on American Sport, 94291116. Don't forget, we're standing by for that decision from the Court of Arbitration for Sport on the Bombers. We're expecting it to come through in the next, any moment now, really, from 7:30 onwards. Damien in Ferntree Gully. G'day, Damien.
Morning, boys. Just on college football quickly, I don't think there'll be a quarterback taken in the top 10 this year, but that's just because there's no superstars out there, quarterback.
But you know what, though, Dame? The 49ers, who are choosing 7th, absolutely need to choose one to select one. So does Cleveland, who are actually picking 1st, I believe. So I do think that even though there aren't any superstars, there's two guys, Goff from Cal and the other guy whose name escapes me. Somebody will pick those guys. Whether they deserve to be chosen in the first 10, it does not matter. Teams are stupid. Teams say, we got to get a quarterback. He's the best quarterback available. We've got this pick. Let's do it.
You had another one, Damien?
Yeah, the hysteria over in America, Sean, is about
Ben Simmons.
My God, I haven't seen anything like this on SportsCenter since LeBron playing high school. They are salivating.
I know they
over
are.
Him over there.
They are. They think that he's going to be the first player chosen. I mean, I got to see him play when LSU came across in September. I got to see him play against Melbourne United, and he was clearly the most talented player on the court. The problem with him at this point is he can't shoot the ball. He doesn't have a jumper. So when you look at he scores 36 points, probably 25 of those are from dunks. So he's a slasher. You know, he moves pretty well with the ball, and he's long and he's fast. So he's going to have to develop his game, but if he doesn't get injured and doesn't completely stuff things up between now and June, I'm pretty sure he'll be the first player chosen.
His uncle called in the other day into our program.
Oh, what'd he say?
Saying that he was actually a very good footballer, a very good Aussie rules footballer.
He's actually won league medals, I think, or league.
Has he really?
Yeah. Trophies. And he's a big Essendon, 13s and 14s.
Big Essendon supporter as well.
So he'd probably be listening to us right now wanting to know what the verdict will be. Ben Simmons. No, I wish him well. He's done really well, and it's going to be great to have another Australian kid chosen first, especially somebody who actually could end up being a great player. I mean, you looked at last time anyone was chosen first was Bogut.
Mm. Yep.
Bogut, you knew what Bogut was. Bogut was going to be, he was going to be tough defensively. He was going to rebound. He was going to be unafraid to go in and get rough. But, I mean, Ben Simmons is – they're looking, and as Damian said, they're talking about him like he's the next LeBron James. I'd pump the brakes on that a little bit, you know what I'm saying? He's good, but he's 18, so let's just let – or maybe he's 19. Let's let him develop.
Let's head to Pete from Craigieburn. Hi, Pete.
Hello there. Yes, I'd just like to get your feeling, Steve, about whether the San Diego Chargers will be heading off to Los Angeles.
Oh, listen.
The old relocation.
That bums me out. You got three teams right now that are going – they're applying for relocation to L.A.
Why isn't there any team in L.A.? What's the reason?
Raiders were there.
The Raiders and the Rams were there until 1994, and in 1995 they went to Oakland and St. Louis respectively. And the reason that they did it was they got better stadium deals in those other cities. And the Raiders originated in Oakland. Will the Chargers go? I sure hope not. But that team has tried. The ownership has tried for years and years and years to get a stadium deal in San Diego. And that's what happens. Teams in the U.S. say, we want to leave, and they hold cities for ransom, which is not right. But if you are a San Diego Charger employee or someone who lives in San Diego, the city actually built a stadium for the Padres, who are the baseball team there. Why the hell not the Chargers? Interestingly, you would not want to be the politician in charge, like the mayor of San Diego, when the team does leave, and my fraternity brother, Kevin Faulkner, is the mayor of San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is. So it's like I think
he might be coming out here to live.
I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be good for him politically. It really would not be good
for
him politically.
So if they don't put the money in and they leave, the backlash will be huge.
It should be huge. I tell you who's going. I think the Rams will be there for sure. I don't know if anyone else will, but I think in order, I'd say San Diego's probably second most likely. Most likely to be the Rams, and least likely would be the Raiders.
Matt Granlund, Cam Mooney with you. Steve Salisbury is in the studio talking American sport, and we're standing by any moment that decision being handed down by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. We will bring you that as soon as it happens. Let's check in with Nathan Brown.
On 1116 SEN, a sportsbet.com.au update.
Brownie, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Very good. We'll start with the NBA.
Yeah, the Heat up against the Golden State Warriors, and unbelievable odds this year on the Golden State Warriors. They're $1.09 up against the Heat, $8. And, I mean, the Heat aren't traveling that badly. They're 22-15, although the Warriors have won their last six at 35-2. But $1.09 is very, very short two-horse race.
And, Brownie, apparently the ODI starts tonight.
It does, but you wouldn't know it, Moons, would you? Everybody's just ensconced in the big bash, which is great. The Aussies, they've come in from $1.68 to $1.40. India have blown out a little bit from $2.60 to $2.98. So all the love for the Aussies at the moment. You can get $3.75 for Davey Warner, being the top scorer in the Aussie side, or Aaron Finch. They're both openers, $5.50. And for the Indians, you can get $4.20 on Virat Kohli to be the top scorer.
What about the big bash, Brownie?
Yeah, the Strikers $1.62 up against the Hurricanes $2.30. The Hurricanes, if they lose this, they're going to be out of it after the Renegades won last night. So there's a bit of a logjam around that top four with the Sydney Thunder at the moment. But the Strikers will go back to the top of the ladder if they win $1.62. The Hurricanes $2.30. And the line of betting on that is the Strikers and the Perth Scorchers are the favourites, along with the Melbourne Stars on the third line of betting. So it's going to be a cracking semi-final, whoever makes it, but it is a logjam at that top four.
Okay, Sportsbet is where you go if you're going to have a flatter gamble responsibly. It's 24-8. Steve Salisbury still with us talking American sport as we await that big decision from the Court of Arbitration for Sport coming any moment now. As soon as it breaks, we will let you know.
Steve, a little bit off the SMS, one particular question was Cavaliers.
I love
it. Do they need to bring somebody else in?
I don't think they do. I think that
to get over the Warriors, basically, or the Spurs.
The Spurs, I think, are more of a concern for the Cavs than the Warriors. And I know people look at that and go, "Wait, hold on a second. They're halfway through the season. They've lost two games, the Warriors." But I don't like they're a finesse team. And as good as they are, when Steph Curry, who has been the most outstanding player the last year and a half of any, I mean, he's had a better run the last year and a half than almost anybody ever. Mm. And I'm dating back to Jordan. I mean, he can score from anywhere on the court. I mean, the guy's sensational. But if you body up on him and rough him up a bit, it's tough for him. And we saw that last year when they played against Memphis in the second round. The Grizzlies were able to do that.
And then we saw it game two and three.
Game two and three against the Cavs with Dellavedova. Mm. And you think about it, Dellavedova, all due respect to him, I mean, he has no talent whatsoever. I mean, he's just relative to the rest of the guys out on the field, he's there on guts and guile and grit and all those types of things. Yeah.
He has some talent, though, to be
well, certainly.
NBA.
He's probably a more talented basketball player than the three of us.
Yeah.
And probably most people walking up and down Swan Street right now.
Compared
to NBA guys, his talent would be at the lower end. And that's why I'm impressed with him, is because he's out there and he's making a living for himself playing in the NBA, which means he gives 100% every time he's out there. So I think the Cavaliers, as constructed, if they're injury-free come June, I think they win the title. I don't think there's any question about that. I think LeBron James is the best player we've ever seen. Watch the text machine light up when I say that. You guys, seriously, Australians are too up the backside of Michael Jordan. It's like all you guys ever saw was Michael Jordan highlights. But this guy makes everybody on the court better.
Yeah. If you got a question for Steve, American Sport, give us a buzz, 94291116. Mick has done that on the road. Hi, Mick.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Steve.
Yes.
With regards to the Bengals and Steelers game on the other night, I understand the call on the first when perfect hit, I think, is they describe it, or the unprotected receiver, or that's the call.
Right.
But the next foul, I didn't understand what that one was about. The next 15-yard penalty, which obviously made that that field goal more gettable, you know?
Yep, unsportsmanlike against Pac-Man Jones. And similar to if you...
Love that name.
Pac-Man, yeah.
So his reputation is just horrible, isn't it?
That's Pac-Man. Exactly what it is. And so what Cam said is exactly the reason he got that penalty. If it were another player who had not gotten in trouble time and time again, I'm sure that the officials might not have done it. I mean, anytime you lunge at somebody to start a fight, I mean, I've seen a lot worse not get penalized. Mm. But I think because of Pac-Man Jones' reputation as being a bit of a clown, a bit of a dickhead, that's probably his reputation precedes him. And so he walks into a room or walks onto a field and the officials are, oh, wait, there's Pac-Man Jones. What's the guy going to do? And, I mean, what it was is I don't care if you're good-looking, funny, talented, smart wins. You've got to be smart. Mm-hmm. And the reason that the Bengals are not moving on next week is simply because two of their players, who had great games otherwise, made asinine plays when it counted most.
Give us a buzz if you want to ask Steve a question. Jill in Hampton Park. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Jill. Well, thank you.
I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, and just wondering how you think they'll go against the Pats.
I like them. I really think right now they're the hottest team in football, Jill, and I think that if they take what they've been doing the last few weeks, the last 11 weeks, into Boston it's going to be Sunday our time, 8:30. I think they can get out of there with a win. I mean, the problem that they have is that Jeremy Maclin, their receiver, went down with what people thought was a knee injury. So he's a possibility to play on the weekend. If he does, I think that helps Kansas City considerably. And obviously, you got to their defense has been great, and you have to account for Tom Brady. Put lots of pressure on Brady. If they can do that, they have a shot to win.
Now, Steve, we were talking before we went on air about, and my brother just texted me into it. He wants to know.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel.
Oh, God.
Is this guy just...
Tell us about him, for those that don't know.
So what's going on with him?
Johnny Manziel is... Remember what I said about Pac-Man Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel's the same thing. He's... Johnny Manziel is...
So why is this? Because he's...
I think he's an alcoholic.
He's throwing away millions and
he's
millions.
He's throwing away... I think he's got a problem.
But was he good enough to actually ever
No, he never was. He's a very talented player who played in the SEC, played at Texas A&M. He was a lot of fun to watch. Good, fast. I mean, there's such a...
One of the great college players.
He was. There's such a difference between winning in college and being an elite college player and being an elite pro player. He lacked a lot of the fundamental stuff that you need to be successful at that next level, like work ethic, size, brains, those types of things.
Brains.
He's not a very bright guy, and, and I think he's an alcoholic or a drug addict, because you do not make the over and over and over again make the moronic decisions that guy makes. Mm. I mean, he parties too much. He gets, I mean, twice this season there have been photos of him in Vegas. He loves to jump onto a plane and go to Vegas. He grew up an entitled, wealthy kid. His father, I think, had something to do with oil in Texas.
Mm, yep,
it's big business. So I think he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's got whatever he's ever wanted, and I don't think he really actually understands.
Or did he know that he was never going to be good enough? So he's just going, "Oh, well, I must have some fun."
Well, I think it'd probably be there. He's probably not doesn't have the presence of mind to say, "I'm not going to be good enough." But he says, "Here I am. I got cash in my pockets." And I'm Johnny Manziel, and I'm having a good time. He had the nickname of Johnny Football in college. And he's just gotten to Cleveland. The Cleveland thing was never going to work. I mean, it takes a certain type of quarterback, a big, strong quarterback with a strong arm, to work up in a windy climate like Cleveland. Cleveland's a horrible place to live.
Mm.
Probably even
like
worse.
Canberra.
I heard you say that about Canberra. I think actually Cleveland could be worse.
Hey, no verdict yet from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. It is dropping any moment, as I said. So as soon as it drops, we will let you know. I'm getting a lot of SMSs asking that question. As soon as we know, you'll know. Jono's on the road with a question for Steve. Hi, Jono.
Morning, guys. Just wondering your thoughts on Marshawn Lynch and the fact that he didn't even fly over with the team. And their record being better without him. Do you think he's fit enough to play next week?
I think that he ruled himself out of the game yesterday at Minnesota. And I don't know whether you know a lot about the different climates in the U.S., but Marshawn grew up in California like I did. And we don't really like...
Are you saying he didn't play because it was a bit cold?
It was really, really cold yesterday. I'm not going to... Marshawn Lynch...
His Skittles got a little bit frozen.
Yes, they've done really well without him this year. And I think that, if you're a Seattle fan, that is one of the most positive signs that you could hope for out of this season, because Russell Wilson has further developed. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the game yesterday, but Russell Wilson...
His second half.
Well, his fourth quarter.
Scrambling was,
yeah, I mean, he's like there's a player, there's a guy named Fran Tarkenton who played in the 60s and 70s with the Vikings. I think he also played with the New York Giants. And he was very similar to Russell Wilson. Not very big, but so evasive and was so damn hard to tackle. I mean, they've used a greased watermelon as the analogy of trying to get these guys. I mean, you just can't slow them down. So for the Seattle, I guess, I think Marshawn will play next week. I think he will, and I'm certain he will be dressed, because apparently it was his call not to go this weekend. But even if he doesn't, they're actually doing quite well with him on the bench. So I think what that shows is that it shows two things. Number one, that they've got a balanced enough offense that they don't rely on him the way that they used to. And the other thing is that they've been drafting well, because they have guys who are picking up the slack. Like Rawls was the guy who ended up getting hurt, and now they're back to Christian Michael.
Here's one for you, Steve. You'd be interested in this. Obviously, Tom Coughlin,
yes.
New York Giants coach who walked, maybe pushed out the door. Having a bit of a talk with the 49ers.
I don't mind that one bit. He's a winner, and he's kind of old school.
He basically said he walked, but if he's now looking for another job.
I think, well, you know what? So he won two times. It's interesting because, and you would know this as well as anybody, because oftentimes coaches... he's an old school coach. Mm. So when he was with Jacksonville, that was his first NFL head coaching job. Started with them in 95. He was. They called him Stalag Coughlin because they were playing in Northern Florida,
just
which is yeah, just ruthless. I mean, just absolutely hardcore. And he went to he lost a job in Jacksonville, and then the Giants hired him, which I found curious at the time because he seemed like such a clown, not a clown, but just like he'd kind of lost touch with today's player. And you got to there's a lot more psychology now and a lot more. Being nice to players and getting them on side than the old school. And what happened was the Giants chose him, and that shows that the Giants organization is sound because they made a decision that didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of other people, but it worked out. And in New York, he changed. The players complained about that rough, the kind of the rough approach, and he changed to his credit, and he won two Super Bowls. So, listen, I would like to have him in San Francisco.
Just being given a message here that the players are still waiting the verdict. So no verdict yet. The players are still waiting. As soon as the players are expected to find out just after 7:30, but I've just been told that the players are still awaiting a verdict. Nick in Sunbury has a question for Steve. Hi, Nick.
More of a statement, guys. I tend to disagree with Steve's assessment on Matty Dellavedova. I think it's become almost fashionable to talk about how he's in the NBA because of his hustle and he plays hard. But I think the thing that we tend to overlook is the guy's talented. I mean, he shoots a three at a good clip. His plus-minus rating is as good as anyone in that team, significantly when they're winning as well. And he sees a floor well. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. I don't think you can play in that league just being a good, tenacious defender or a hustler. I think those are new attributes he's brought to his game and improved on this year.
Oh, look, I'm not saying he's a hack. Mm. Please understand, I'm not saying, and I've had a lot of people call me up on this. I'm not saying the guy's a hack.
Just compared
but I'm
to
saying
what, what's around him.
Yes, exactly.
The skill set
he's
of
6 foot four. Yeah. He's not that athletic. I mean, there's guys that could jump out of the gym. They're better athletes than him. And so when I look at players like him, I think I'm more impressed by those guys because, you know, you cannot do it on talent alone. That's, you know, with the Johnny Manziel thing that we talked about before. He's blowing it, and he's more talented than Dellavedova. Dellavedova, in my mind, is a smart player. Mm. He does good spacing. He's in the right spots. His plus-minus is very good, but I think a lot of that has to do with the other players that he has on the court. I mean, he's playing with, and people poo-poo this, but you know, LeBron James is a modern-day Magic Johnson. Mm. He's that kind of player. He makes everybody better. And when Magic Johnson is on the court, or sorry, when Magic Johnson, when LeBron is on the court, all the emphasis is on LeBron, and it makes it a lot easier to get around and do stuff. So, look, I like Dellavedova. I like him a lot. But I'm just, you know, he's not a physical talent like a lot of the other guys in the league. And he makes it on guts and hard work, and that's commendable. That's more commendable than just getting in and being a talented athlete.
It is 6 minutes away from eight. Steve Salisbury is in the studio. We're playing some of David Bowie's great work. Steve, what's your favorite David Bowie song?
Oof, probably Ashes to Ashes or Under Pressure with Queen. I also really liked the album that came out in 83 with Modern Love. Was it Modern Love? Was that the one? Get to the Church on Time.
Yep.
That, and then there was a few on that. China Girl was pretty good. That was a good album.
Steve, just a quick one here off the SMS. OKC, what are their chances this year with Durant now coming back from injury?
Oh, look, you're going to see them rise. I think that...
Have they got the roster?
Yeah. Well, they're 26-12 at the moment. They're very good. I just think... In the West, it's going to be really hard to get over San Antonio and Golden State for those guys. I think the thing for OKC is that I believe that in the next year, Durant's going to be a free agent. And so the
stay
thought,
or gone.
Stay, is he going to stay or is he going to go? He seems the type that would be happy to stay. He seems more like a Tim Duncan type. That would want to stay there, but
do they need to bring in another to make it a big three?
See, that's the thing. Players today are different from guys in the 80s. Like Larry Bird would have never left the Celtics. Magic would have never left the Lakers. Michael Jordan would have never left the Bulls. I mean, he did after he retired, but they were happy to win on their own, whereas guys today are like, you know what? I'll bring guys in who will help me win. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does, because there's a lot of speculation about whether he would go or stay, and if he were to go, where would he go? Would he go to New York? Would he go to L.A.? I think it depends on the kid, and he seems like a good kid who's probably not that fussed about where he lives. He just wants to win. So that would put it this way: if I were running OKC, I would work my backside off to get people
to make him happy.
Yeah, to make him happy.
Jason's on the road, has a question for Steve. Hi, Jace.
Morning, lads. How are we?
Good, mate.
Steve, just on the comment on the back of the comment on Joey, which I did agree with. Overall, the sports, major sports in America, with all the Australians that have played, who would have been the best and the closest to the top echelon over there?
That's a good one. Andrew Gaze? I'm kidding.
Luke Longley?
I'm kidding. Luke had three titles.
Three rings.
Three titles. I mean, Luke had the most success. And you look at baseball, I mean, Graham Lloyd did quite well over there, and I think Craig Shipley did okay. And you take a look at football, we've just had punters. I mean, Jared Hayne would be the one who probably could do the most. So I'd say you'd have to look at the basketball players.
And Grant Belfa?
Grant Balfour is another one. He's done quite well. I would say that's a really good question. Probably, to me, the most exciting – well, put it this way, I like watching Bogut. I like watching Patrick Mills, although he's a backup. I'm going to say it will be Ben Simmons when it's all said and done. I mean, he's athletic. He's got all the tools.
I think Bogut said that himself.
Bogut said he'll be the best. Yeah,
he'll be the best. Yep.
But, well, I mean, how many Australians have titles now? I mean, yeah, obviously Andrew does, Gazy does, Luke has three, Patty Mills has one. Dellavedova is going to get one this year. That's right, Dellavedova is going to get one this year. Dellavedova.
Quick one from Stu before the 8 o'clock news. Stuart Muralbach. G'day, Stu.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Steve, I've just watched the last two New York Knicks games against the Spurs and Milwaukee at home yesterday.
Right.
Just wondering your opinion on Kristaps Porzingis. Because from what I can see, in about 3 years' time, he's probably going to be the best player in the world.
I'll tell you what.
They booed him when
they
got drafted.
They did.
They booed him.
Cam's right on that. Well, I mean, you think about it. I mean, you have to think, most fans are idiots. I mean, we really are, as fans, idiots. We have no idea. And we don't spend all the time that these guys do. I mean, to be a general manager in the NBA, you are on a plane. You're going to watch games in Croatia. You're going to gyms in Oklahoma. You're all over the place. You're traveling nonstop. You've got your scouts doing the same thing, and you're watching film. What the thought that I had was that Phil Jackson, who's a general manager of the Knicks, or president, VP of operations, whatever his role is, I thought there's no way he wants to work that hard. So I was critical, not critical of the pick, but I thought, oh, Jesus, here we go. But no, Porzingis has been outstanding, and he's going to be a hell of a player.
Steve, thanks for coming in.
Anytime, boys.
It's huge at the moment over there in the US, NFL and NBA. Still awaiting a decision from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. The players' lawyers were expecting it around 7:30. It drags out longer.
It's not right.
I feel for the players who are waiting.
Does
still waiting.
Does Sportsbet have an odds on what the verdict will be?
They probably do. But as soon as we get one, we'll let you know. It's 8 o'clock.